We've been going through these Psalms, and today we're in Psalm 80. It becomes very clear that if we're a child of God, there'll be low moments when we'll hit the bottom. And some of those humiliating moments will be brought on by an enemy, or other humiliating moments will be brought on by us. As we glance through this Psalm, we cannot help but see there's a repetition of a request for God to cause his face to shine on his people. And this idea of God shining his face has at least two applications. It's a concept of God manifesting his glory, as we would see in Deuteronomy 33:2. It's also a concept of God demonstrating his favor. And in those same verses, we may observe that there is a repeated theme of asking God to restore his people. When this psalm was written, the people of God felt that they had been abandoned and forsaken by God. God's people were broken down and beaten up. They needed the favor of God. They needed revival and restoration. And that's what this psalm is all about. You see, when God's people sense they have been abandoned by God, they need to pray to God and ask him to glorify himself by favoring, reviving, and restoring his people. Perhaps you're in a real low right now. God seems to be far removed from your life and your world. Go to him in prayer. Ask him to demonstrate his glory in your world. Ask him to revive you and restore you, and ask him to shine his face of favor on you. That's exactly what this psalm is about. Let's take a look at it. God's people make their requests to God. Look at verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? It's very clear as the psalm opens that Asaph has a very high and holy concept of God. In the first four verses, God is identified as this in the following ways. He's identified as the shepherd of Israel. He's identified as one who's enthroned above the cherubim. He's identified as God, and he's identified as Lord God of hosts. And if we combine these three titles, we see that God is described as one who has all sovereign power, who is over all forces in existence. God is capable of doing whatever he wants to do because he is the sovereign God. By referring to Israel, Joseph, Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, Asaph is pointing out that much of Israel was hurting and needed God's help. From verse 4, we learn that God had been angry at his people, and it is possible that these named were part of the group that either did or did not make him angry. Regardless of this, Asaph knew that this sovereign God was the shepherd of Israel. God can lead his people as the all-powerful God. He has all forces under his authority. He can stir up his people, and he can save his people from anything. He can cause his face to favor, to shine on his people, and that is what Asaph asked God to do. And part of the responsibility of leaders is to pray on behalf of hurting people and ask God to intervene, and that is what this psalm is all about. And then Asaph states the reasons for the request. Look at verses 5 through 7. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. So listen to these requests. Because God has allowed things to happen to his people that made in them cry. And notice the emphasis on the fact that there were lots of tears. God caused a lot of things to happen that caused his people to cry. Now, the reason why God did this is because of his people's sin. This is what sin will do. It will cause you to cry, not be happy. And then it's because God had made relationships with others that were contentious. If ever there had been a group of people who had been in trouble with their neighbors, it's Israel. She's always at odds with some neighbor. She has never really got along with the Gentile world. When God gets angry with his people, he can make life miserable. And because God has made his people the object of laughter of enemies. God's people were not respected because they were right with God. They were a joke to the world. That's why Asaph is praying. One thing that is interesting here about his theology is that he truly believed God was sovereign in permitting all of this, and he believed God could deliver from this. And then at the end of verse 7, Asaph asked God to restore them, shine his face on them, and to save them. And then Asaph reminds God what he did for his people in the past. Look at verses 8 through 11. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. He reminds God how he blessed Israel in the past. God took her from Egypt. Asaph takes Israel back to where it all began. He wanted God's people to remember what God had done in the past. And God drove out her enemies. This takes us to the days of Joshua. God went before his people and drove out her enemies. And then God picked her and planted her in her land. Once God brought Israel to her land, he blessed it. He saw to it that the land was clear. Roots of crops went deep. The land was filled with blessings. The mountains were covered with a shadow, which means things were not baked in the sun like a desert. God caused the trees to grow. And in verse 11, we learn that the land stretched from sea to the river. God did not just give them a few inches of land. He gave them a massive amount. It's a reference to the promised land. That one will one day stretch from Euphrates to the Mediterranean, to the Nile. During the days of David and Solomon, God's people enjoyed life in a prosperous land. God had done for them, and Asaph is reminding them of that. And then Asaph reminded God what he was doing in the present. Look at verses 12 and 13. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. That time, Asaph was writing the psalm. God was not blessing Israel. In fact, he was causing negative things to happen to all of his people. And God had broken Israel. Sometimes you'll hear people say, God will not do anything negative to his people. He will always love his people just the way they are. There's partial truth to this. God does love his people, but God can also get angry with his people, and he can break them down. And God used boars to devour Israel. The noun boar is a metaphor for unclean Gentile nations. And God uses beasts to feed on Israel. Everything was feeding on Israel. Beasts are untamable things. God uses beastly animals and beastly people to devour his people. When your world caves in, you are boxed in, and when you are dry and beaten and devoured, the thing you can do if you're a child of God is to cry out to him. And then what Asaph asked God to do in the future, verses 14 through 19. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. He asked God to turn his attention to his people. He asked God to take care of his people. He asked God to remember his people exist because of his hand. He asked God to remember his people hurt because of God's rebuke. He asked God to put his right hand of blessing on his people. He asked God to restore his people, and he asked God to favor his people. And if God would do these things for people who were so low, then his people should respond in a few ways. They would not turn away from him again. We've done things to anger God, and God turns his anger to blessing. We need to learn a lesson, and that lesson is don't do it again. Don't do again what made God angry. And they would always call on him and trust him. Sometimes it takes miserable things to bring us to the point where we will call on God and rely on God. Perhaps it has been a long time since you have sensed God's blessings on your life. Perhaps you have done things that you know are causing this. Go to God. Pour it all out to him. Once again, his blessings will shine on your life.